Would you take your Bibles this morning and turn with me to 1 Timothy chapter 3. 1 Timothy chapter 3. The lesson drives off of a question. And that question is this: what in the world is God doing? What in the world is God doing? The answer to that question will depend on your worldview, how you see the world around you. We at hymn singing time, often someone selects that very true and very relevant old hymn, "This World Is Not My Home." And we sing it with gusto. And I do believe we mean it with all of our hearts. But what in the world is God doing? I want you to look at 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse number 14. "These things write I unto thee, hoping to come unto thee shortly. But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth." That last part of verse 15 is where I would like to land in our introductory session this morning. The pillar and ground of truth. Again, I want you to focus on the worldview, your worldview. I trust you have one. Essentially, it amounts to thinking biblically. The church is the ecclesia of God. We are called out of this world. That being the case, what is your worldview? How do you see the world around you? So the church is the pillar, first of all, and secondly, the ground of truth. The pillar and the ground of the truth. You might say, as we think about the pillar, is that it's the support post and the foundation, the support post and the foundation on which it rests. The pillar and ground of the truth. Let me give you some things to think about concerning pillars and concerning the foundation. When you think about a biblical worldview, it must start right here. That absolute truth exists. Truth is not amoral, which is to say it is never relative. Truth is not amoral. Absolute truth exists, and that's absolutely true. Even the cynics shoot themselves in the foot, so to speak, when they deny that premise, because they vigorously deny a premise by saying that there is no such thing as absolute truth, and they say, then that's absolutely true. So it just turns it on its heel. Secondly, that such truth is defined by the Lord in His special revelation. That's this book. This book. Truth is defined by the Lord in His special revelation, the Bible, by which general revelation is clarified. Now, a lot of people will reverse that. I don't think it's wise to do so. Absolute truth exists. Truth is not amoral. It's never fluid. It never floats. It is always fixed. Secondly, on the ground of truth, that truth is defined by God in His special revelation, the Bible. And third, and here's where we will begin to enumerate the elements of a worldview. In this third point, the pillar and ground of truth is that a belief, whatever it is, okay, however it is you see a place in the scripture, is embodied in specific, indispensable minimums. Specific, indispensable minimums. Okay, those three things, the pillar and ground of truth. Now, when you think about a worldview, you may, at first think, what is the possible relevance? with everything else going on around us, with the church in a state of decline in which it is, what possible difference does it make when you bring the subject of a biblical worldview into a Sunday school class? What's the point of it, really? What is to be gained by consideration of it? I'm going to present in the Sunday school a brief segment of a DVD that I've had in my hands a good long while, and I've been reluctant to, sketchy about presenting it. But I think that in light of everything that you see happening around you in the world, it is paramount that you get this first dose. Then we're going to come back to the scriptures in the time that would be remaining in the Sunday school and further highlight the pillar and the ground of truth with the video display as a backdrop. Tonight, when we come to the house of God, I have another little more extended segment of the same to show you. And then next Lord's Day, if everything works out as planned, the final segment of this DVD will be shown with the conclusion of the lesson at that time. Now, where are we going to go? What is the goal for the day? First of all, just think about a worldview and its relevance to you. Because what you're going to see here in a couple seconds is that there are people in this world who have a crystal clear worldview. They are rabid about that worldview, and they are dedicated to acting upon their worldview. Now, I want you to think about it as you see this. Shane, if you would knock those out, please. Very radical worldview. We've scraped off the tip of the iceberg on the presentation. And I have identified a place in the presentation that needn't be seen by anybody here. And so when we pick the segment up tonight, it'll be past that. Please don't let slip into your memory banks and be lost the connection between Hitler's Germany and the radical Arabs of our day. There's a link that goes back historically to Hitler's day, to the Mufti of Jerusalem in his day, and some of the historical documentation and their contemporary application is absolutely stunning, especially when you realize that the wave of jihad has certainly is among us in America and has infiltrated the highest levels of government, be it federal, state, or local government, but yet sliding below the radar, waiting for the opportune moment. So I come back to this thought. What in the world is God doing? What in the world is God doing? It would be a good exercise for each of us to take a sheet of paper, fold it in half, write that at the top, and answer it. What in the world is God doing? As you see it, what is the Christian worldview? Because it will go a long way in determining your response and mine as American citizens, as Christian American citizens, to the people around us. And I mentioned out of 1 Timothy 3, verse 15, about the pillar and the ground of truth. You see the truth as they believe it. Allah, their Allah, is the main focus of their religious zeal. But is Allah, or any other characterization of an individual, to be compared with the Lord Jesus Christ? And again, I want to repeat those, the pillar and the ground of truth, which essentially is the germ of a biblical worldview. And it is this, first of all, and as I repeated, there must be a belief in your heart and mind that absolute truth exists. That must be rock solid. Absolute truth exists. Truth, under anybody's definition, can never be amoral. Secondly, there must be a belief that such truth is defined by the Lord in His special revelation, the Bible. The pillar in the ground of truth. And third, when it comes to enumerating things that spin out of that worldview, there has to be a belief that is embodied in specific, indispensable maximums. So if you take that half sheet of paper and you write the question up there, what in the world is God doing, with an attempt to enumerate the Christian worldview, and you make a list that has to meet the criteria of absolute truth as defined in the Bible, what conclusion can you come to when you get to the bottom of the paper? And how will that little academic exercise affect the way you and I think and react in the midst of the culture which we're a part of? So I want you to think again about the pillar in the ground of truth for the few moments that we have left, and think of it this way. In your Bibles, with the pillar and ground of truth there, first of all, let's examine the pillar. In Romans chapter 3 and verse number 2, these are support structures. This is the support structure. Romans chapter 3, identified by a specific phraseology. Romans chapter 3. I read at verse 1, what advantage then hath the Jew? Or what profit is there of circumcision? Much every way, chiefly because that unto them were committed, please note what it says now, the oracles of God. The oracles of God. That's this. Given to the Jews, minus the New Testament, but given to the Jews, the oracles of God. In 2 Corinthians chapter 6, let's see again, expressed in this way. 2 Corinthians 6. And the 7th verse. Second Corinthians 6, verse 7. There in the opening part, there is the word of truth, the oracles of God, the word of truth. Okay? The oracles of God and the word of truth have no connection whatever to the Quran. None whatever. So you have that to consider concerning the pillar and then the ground of truth. Think about this. In Matthew 16, verse 18, one of the classic verses in all the New Testament, Jesus said, I will build my church. I will build my church upon the rock. That's the foundation, the pillar and ground of truth. The church is the pillar and ground of truth. Jesus said, I will build my church upon this rock. Christ is that rock. And then in connection with that, look at Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 21. underscoring this notion, this truth of Scripture that Christ is the rock. He's the Word, the animate Logos of God. If so be that you have heard Him and have been taught by Him as the truth is in Jesus. Truth is in Jesus, not Allah, not Buddha, not Confucius, nor any man ever walked the earth. It is, the truth is in Jesus. Okay? And everyone who purports to speak the truth must have that statement or assertion measured by the truth itself. And if it doesn't measure up, then it must be put off into the dust heap of mere opinion. Everybody's entitled to them, but not all opinions rise to the step, to the level of truth itself as measured in the oracles of God. So you have the pillar and the ground of truth. We further that along with something that the Lord Jesus in His prayer in John 17 said. In John 17, verse 17, it is said, sanctify them through what? Thy truth. And then the definition is, thy word is truth. Thy word is truth. Now, we're only putting this out because this has to be where, if you would have a rock solid, crystal clear worldview, it has to begin with the pillar in the ground. Has to begin with the truth. We also know this. Jesus said in John 14, verse 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. I'm the truth. Now, when you think about that, certainly we take the words that Jesus spoke in His incarnation from the moment He could speak word one until He spoke word last, which was what word? What was the last word Jesus ever uttered? Finished. Okay? So from incarnation to His death. Finished. Okay? There's no superseding it. There's no going beyond it. So you consider what He has said, and then you take that to another avenue where you examine all that He has done. Now the natural creation doesn't speak in audible tones that we can hear, except maybe if you have these hypersensitive hearing devices that can hear the stars speak, and they do. They make music, awesome music. And of course you consider the elements of a storm, the lightning and the thunder. You can hear when the wind reaches a certain airspeed, you can hear the wind. You can't see it with your eyes, but you can hear it. So you consider this. Jesus said, I am the truth. And then we also understand, if we look at that passage in John's Gospel and chapter 18. Look there, please, John 18, verse number 37. In the course of examination prior to the crucifixion, John 18, 37, Pilate therefore said unto him, art thou a king then? Jesus answered, thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world. Can we maybe see a little seed of a world view here out of verse 37? For this cause came I into the world. You know, ultimately a world view goes to cause. What does your world view cause you to do? For this cause came I into the world. What cause was that? First of all, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. So think about that for a minute. What in the world is God doing? Well, your worldview at this point in time in human history must first of all begin with the thing that Jesus loves more than anything else, and that's the church. Has to be start right there, the church. The called out ecclesia, called out from the world unto himself. He loves the church more than anything else. Demonstrated his love by his death on the cross. Poured out his life's blood for us. He loves us. And so anything down past that concerning the construct of a worldview must begin with a pillar and ground of truth, which is the church. The church. I'm not talking about house churches that are parachurch organizations. I'm not talking about emerging church, which essentially is a mutant libertarian concept of New Testament Christianity. I'm not talking about that because it does not measure up to the truth. The assembly of the saints comprising the church, the individuals who make up the body of Christ, Jesus loves more than anything else in the whole world. Now that ought to say something about how a worldview and why a worldview would be constructed. Now, one other little note. Let me just enumerate some for instances. And I want to state this irony. Clearly true. The irony is that as specific essentials are added to your list of worldviews, those that who would certify a biblical worldview drops proportionately. Illustrate this way. I once, early in the ministry, saw, as I was trying to educate myself and formalize certain things concerning church bylaws and constitutions. I examined a number of churches' stuff in Pennsylvania and in other publications, and I saw some church constitutions that church constitutions that were like a dictionary. I mean, they were thick, they were cumbersome and tedious. I mean, they covered every contingency. And I thought to myself, that's something that doesn't sound like quite right. And then I went to the opposite extreme and I saw that there were some who could take their bylaws and put them on a list like this for a bulletin insert every week. And that was it. Now, the question is, to which kind of church do you think most people would be attracted to? This or the dictionary model of rules would be over here. Now, somewhere in the middle, you have to come to some conclusions. Let me give you real quick some for instances, and then this will be food for thought and hopefully preparatory for tonight's presentation. One of the things that has to be on this list is this. God is working all things together for good. I have to be convinced of that. Now, with every one of these enumerations, there must be absolute, contextual, biblical support, or just mere opinion. God is working all things together for good. I also have to believe that God is the Lord of all, the omnipotent creator and sustainer of this world. I have to believe that. I have to believe that Christ is infinitely holy, not able to sin. I have to believe that salvation is a gift of God, holy of grace, apart from human merit. I have to believe that Satan is an irrevocably evil person, doomed to eternal judgment. I have to believe that. God is just, and that must be. I also have to believe that sinners apart from Christ, in rebellion against Him, are doomed to eternal hell. I have to believe that evangelism is imperative and that saints must share their gospel faith in Christ with all people without exception. And I must believe that Scripture is accurate in all its teachings because it is God's Word, inspired and preserved. Now, that's not comprehensive. That's a starting point. And I would challenge you to take that half a sheet of paper, put the question at the top, and ask this: what in the world is God doing? Where do you want to start and make your little list? And be able to contextually support each assertion with the truth. The church is the pillar and ground of truth. And so let me just leave you with this thought. I don't know that this is in cement or not. I suspect it might be, but I don't know for sure. According to one of the studies that I read, in Bible-believing churches where the pastor has a biblical worldview, and only one out of two have them. Okay, one out of two pastors have a biblical worldview. But in churches where that is the case, 6 out of every 7 of the members of that church do not agree with their pastor's worldview. 6 out of every 7. Lord, would you please prepare us now to move from here to our 11 o'clock service. We ask that you be honored there as we trust you are honored here. We love you and we look forward to the fellowship and give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen.